reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See how darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried upon the arm. Look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy, proclaiming the praise of the Lord. Our Old Testament reading was part of the opening responses. Our epistle lesson is found in the book of Ephesians, page 1250 in your Bibles. We read Ephesians 3, beginning at verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given: to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery, hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. This is the word of the Lord. We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, page 1032, and we read Matthew 2, beginning at verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. And listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson, and in particular, these words. Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? This is our text. It is so fun being a grandparent. I waited a long time. And one of the joys of that role is, again, watching the minds of little children develop. So for Christmas, they got all kinds of new little toys, including simple puzzles, one-piece puzzles. You've got to take this little piece, and it's got a couple of different bends and curves in it. And it's got a little handle on it. And you pull it out, and all you have to do is put it back in. They're neat little puzzles. There's a problem, though, when a 1.5-year-old tries to work that kind of puzzle, especially a little boy, 1.5-year-old. Who thinks he's a little tough. No matter how hard you press, if you don't have it lined up, it's not going to go in. You can press harder and harder, and you can make little faces. And you can swat Grandpa's hand away when he tries to help you. It's not going to go in by all your strength and all your might. It has to be lined up right. And sometimes somebody has to show you. And what I see in my little 1.5-year-old grandson, I think we've all seen in people at one time or another, they think they got the way. They're going to do it their way. They'll use all their strength, all their might, all their resources, all their intellect. And you just sort of sit back and watch and go, it's not going to work that way. There's one way to get this done, and unless you listen and do it that way, it's just not going to happen. Today is called Epiphany. The word literally means revealing, and as it has evolved down the years into our present form, the primary focus of Epiphany is the revealing of Christ to the Gentiles. Wise men. They're not called Jews. They were probably astrologers from Babylon, come to Jerusalem. And while they're not Jewish themselves, they're looking for him who is born a king of the Jews, for they saw his star in the east. And then this particular note, and have come to worship him. The revealing of a Jewish king, but not just to be a Jewish savior. The God whom we worship, who revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ, isn't just our God, our Savior. He isn't just a God, a Savior. He's the God, the Savior. The name above all other names in which we must be saved, as Scripture describes. The Savior not just of a certain people, but the Savior of the world. And yet, though these are the facts, we live in a world where most people don't see Christ, in fact, don't see any religion through that kind of lens, through it being not just a way, but the way. Most people are of the opinion that, you know, it's sort of, you know, whatever works for you. People change from church to church, from religion to religion. Searching for a better way, but never really settling just on one. And you see this in the lives of people that you know as well. People not just struggling with everyday tasks, not just with little puzzles on a living room floor, struggling with life. Bouncing around, trying this and trying that. And I'm afraid that sometimes as we're watching people struggle, we're a little bit reluctant to say to them, you know, it's not going to work that way. It just won't. Jesus and Scripture is not just a possible solution. He's the only one. He's not just the Savior of the Jews. He's the Savior of the world. And I think one of the ways we can best see this is by comparing what he did in his death and resurrection to all other religions. Now just think about this for a second. There's Islam. Muhammad, the prophet. Now, maybe not according to us, but at least according to Muslims. Where is he today? Well, they'd say he's in heaven. What happened to his life on earth? Well, he died. And that was the end of it. Did he come back from the dead? No. How about Joseph Smith, you know, that Mormon guy? Where is he? Well, if you'd ask an Mormon, he's in heaven. How'd he get there? Well, he died. Did he come back? No. How about Buddha? How about the 500,000 gods of the Hindus? Confucius. You know, you go down religion after religion after religion. They all have, if you will, saviors that met one problem they couldn't deal with. Death. Death does seem to have a finality to it, not just to the leaders of all the other great religions of the world, but for each and every one of us. And then there's Jesus. He died, but he comes back. Not just as some disembodied spirit, some soul floating around. No. That body they put in the grave comes back out alive. He eats, he drinks, he walks with people, he talks with people. He's alive as any one of us is right now. He solves the one problem nobody else can solve. And I think most importantly, that nobody else even claims to solve. He's not just a Savior. He's the Savior from death, the greatest enemy of us all. And if He can save us from that which nobody else can conquer, how much more is He able to save and to help us from all those other problems and troubles in life that confront us each and every day? I think you people here today know that. But on Epiphany, we're not just celebrating the revealing of Christ to people who should have gotten it anyway, though even they struggle with it. No, Epiphany is the celebration of God reaching out to those people who aren't even seeking Him, to those people who wouldn't claim Him as their own naturally. He's reaching out to the people of the world, to the wise men from the east, who traveled a great distance to find someone they probably hadn't yet even begun to understand and to worship. But they want to. They see in the King of the Jews something different, something unique, something with an answer to problems that nobody else has an answer to. And that's who you and I have as a Savior. And while God today typically doesn't put huge signs in the sky, He does put thoughts and ideas in our minds. And He can put words on our lips. We are the stars. We are the light of the world. And each and every one of us knows someone who needs some light in their lives. And we need to share this Jesus with them. Not just as one way among many. Not just as a possible solution to the problems that they're having in their lives. But we need to tell them that He is the solution. He is the way and the truth and the life. And no one will come to the Father except through Him. He's not just the Jewish Savior. Not just the Christian Savior. He is the world's Savior. And that's what we need to tell people. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.